Yeah, and I just wrote another letter saying those things, whether it be all possible to see you, that I've, you know, I'm sort of running out of money, I think I mentioned, and that I'd like to go up to, no, I wrote that part in another letter that I'd like to go up to Nepal. It was just another plea to try and see Baba, and thank you for, you know, happy to receive the reply, the initial reply. And how do you say, with a twinkle in his eye, oh, well, we'll try and get this one off too, you know, and I hired the push bike and I think I went shopping and moseyed around town, you know, a bit of sightseeing and that sort of thing. And the next day, sure enough, a letter came back. And there was another letter saying much the same things, that Barbara's pleased to receive, had read your letter today and was pleased to hear your love for him and things like this, not to worry, to keep happy, and that Barbara would be with you all the time, and that to keep in touch with Bill Page back in Australia. And so that was the next little note that I got from Barbara. And in the meantime, I'd met Donkin, Bill Donkin, and he was very interested in and talking about. I remember him clearly saying, he looked at me and said, "You are the new humanity." You know, the first kind of the young Westerners, I guess, coming up. He said, "You are the new humanity." And I guess he felt a bit sympathetic about me trying to get to Barbara, and he said, "Well, come on, we'll go out to Seclusion Hill and I'll bring a pair of binoculars along, and you never know, we might catch a glimpse of Barbara down there, you know. We'll just try, you know, but we have to be, can't tell anybody. It's kind of a bit of a sneaky thing to do, you know." And because everybody was very kind of... they were very aware of Barbara's seclusion and not interfering with it at all, not creating any ripples in Barbara's work, you know. And so we drove out there. I was quite impressed by how British he was, still incredibly British, you know, with the beret on. British, yeah. Yeah, Don Donkin was so British after having been in India for so long. The shorts and a neat little shirt on. He had the long socks turned over with a little tag hanging out of them like the Boy Scouts had, you know, and glasses with a little string around them there, and there was a little bright coloured bit of material on it so he could notice where it was if he took it off. And he had a little red Rover at the time, and I think, yeah, somebody told me it was a Rover. I didn't remember at the time, but it was a little red one, very shiny and well kept, and we motored on out there, and we stopped on this side.
Yeah, it was
the
also.
Was it? Yeah. Right. Not such a small. Yeah, this one wasn't so big. I really can't remember. Yeah, I remember this one was quite nice and obviously imported. I knew it wasn't an Indian car.
Yeah, Obama and that car to go for some that year.
Ah, really? Yeah.
A year before.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, amazing. Anyway, up the hill we went and hiked up the hill with the
knock. The backside.
From the backside, right, yeah. And we went first up the hill with a little ancient tomb on the top. And he sort of gave me the binoculars, and I was peering away down there and trying to spot somebody in a pink coat going from one little bungalow to the next sort of thing, eyes popping out of the end of the binoculars trying to see something, you know. But it wasn't possible. But he left me alone for a little while. I said, "Oh, I'll leave you alone for a while with your thoughts." And he went just down the side of the hill a little bit. And I kind of really pined away up there trying to see Barbara. I just sort of said, "Oh, well, whatever it is, you know, Barbara, I just wanted to know that you were God in human form. I just wanted something that I could rest assured that you were God in human form, you know." And I remember it was a kind of a bit cloudy, but not really cloudy, but this little cloud came floating across, and it dropped some light rain, and this rainbow came out, a little fine rainbow came out, and the end of it just ended on the Mundley buildings. You know, I don't know which one, it might have been on Barbara's, but it just ended on the Mundley Marizad down there, and I just went, "Oh, wow, well, that'll do me, Barbara," you know, at that time and at that circumstances, that'll do me. And then Don came, I walked down back to where Don was, and he said, "Come on, we'll go over to Seclusion Hill." And we went down and up to Seclusion Hill and had a bit of a look around there. And he mentioned about this is where Barbara did his universal work. And there was still a platform there where Barbara's little cabin had been. And picked up a few little stones, as everybody does. And that was kind of it. We walked back down the hill and we sat on a rock down the bottom there just to catch our breath. And Don left his glasses there and we were halfway back to the car and he suddenly remembered. I said, oh, don't worry, I'll go and get them. And I ran off to go and get them and I got them there and I was just about to turn around and come back. And I saw him, he was kind of running after me. I guess he was very anxious that I wouldn't try and make a break for it into the Mayrazad, you know. That's kind of felt, because there was no need to run after me if he trusted that I was going to get them and bring them back. But he was kind of hot on the trail. And I found them there, I was just giving them back. And we were just about to go away and a small boy came out with two dogs from Mayrazad. He had two dogs on a chain. And he came out and Don explained it was all right and we were going to go and that sort of thing. So they must have known somebody was up there, skulking around up on the hills there.
I think they must have taken the dogs for a walk. Not,
might have been.
Not security.
Right, yeah. But so that was that little expedition and back home again. And there was another, the reply to that other, the second reply to my letter came back. Barbara was saying, very happy to read your letter and... not to worry, to keep happy and remember him as much as you possibly can. And similar things, don't worry, be happy, I will be with you sort of thing. And so that was all right and kind of wasn't so much. And I kind of felt there was something more to it. This letter writing wasn't kind of, you know, expressing anything. And Don had given me the Wayfarers, the book The Wayfarers, to have a bit of a look through, and I was quite taken by the photograph in the front of it, a 1949 photograph of Barbo, I think something to do with a new life, and he was just looking kind of straight out with the hand like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just sat down one night and I just did a little sketch. I was just sitting in the hotel room there, it was really plain and bare, and used to feed a little mouse that used to come out in the room and drop him a few crumbs of chapati, and he used to come out every night for his evening meal and drop a few more crumbs there. And so I did this drawing and I took it around the next day to Artie's office and he said, oh yeah, that's very nice, very nice. And well, I'll try and get that to Barbara. And come back the next day. It was always took a day for a reply, you know. And the next day it came back and Barbara said he was very happy with the drawing. I had it in a little pad, and he'd flick through the pad, and I had a—I think I had a couple of other little drawings in there of Barbara too. And he said to fill the book with drawings, you know, fill the book with Barbara drawings. And he was very pleased with the drawing, and that I should do some more. And it might have been something else. Then another, don't worry, be happy type thing at the end of it. And so that was it. And I was really quite amazed. I was, that was a complete surprise for it to come back, had Barbara having signed it. That was a real...
He signed it?
He signed the drawing, yeah. And I've got it. Oh, I left... Gee whiz, I've left my drawings up in the trust office. And it's got that one in it. I might just go up and get it.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. It was Peter Rowan was over here in the Mundley Hall talking to Erich. And... Erich said that Barbara at the time, when he saw this and signed it, he said, it is not necessary for me to see Barbara, because him having signed it was the same as having his darshan. For him to have signed it and returned it, having seen Bill's picture and signed it, returned it, was the same as having his darshan. And I only found that out 4 months ago.
I've been interested when you show Erich the other stuff to see what
he's done. Well, I showed it to Erich, and, you know, he says, oh, yes, that's the one. And then he kind of said the same thing again to me, yeah, right. You know, like mentioned the same thing. Right. But he didn't say anything about it being the last signature.
Monty would be the one about the signature, so she used to take
it. But see, it's hard there to get any detail. People are coming and going. They have a quick look, and then suddenly somebody gives them a hug, and then they... on another conversation. It's hard to sit down and just have a kind of a chat with anybody, I found. And I understand, like, there's so many people coming and they have to...
Yeah, what you should do is just say you wanted to think about it and get an answer just now. Just try to remember it in those last months he ever signed his name.
All right, yeah.
And you'll ask her later. She won't be able to see, like you say, concentrate about it then, but if she will stay in her mind, she'll be in the evening or sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I should do that, David. Yeah. Yeah.
Pop into the truck one day.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because there's people coming and going, and they're, yeah, you know.
She's in a desk. You can sit in front and just show her and say.
Mm. What are the days that she's in here?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Ah, those 4 days in the first of the week, first part of the week. Yeah. Yeah, well, that's of interest, yeah.
Because you can definitely see from the signature that
it's a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of shaky. And of course, I've still got that pad, and I haven't filled it up with drawings.
This is inside of a pad.
Yeah, just a little pad, a little Indian pad, you know. And I bought it in India, but I think it was a British pad, you know. It was only so big by so big, like that. And I just bought it to do some sketches in, you know, like that. And you flip through it.
When you get back to Australia, somewhere you can have a photographic copy. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, like, somebody wanted it for the newsletter over there, the Australian newsletter. And I know, like, my dad was in the newspapers, and they'll go for anything and everything they can get to make a highlight in the newspaper. And I'd
make
a highlight. Highlight or, you know, a story in the newspaper. And kind of, they can be ferocious in the way they sort of get, you know, emotional and gutsy kind of stories. Not that it's the same with a Barber newsletter, but they're still going for, you know, any bits of information, which I understand and appreciate. But I read something a long time ago that, just a little statement, that which is given in private should be kept private, and that which is given in public can be given out in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that this was a kind of private thing, and that I shouldn't kind of show it around.
Mm-hmm.
But I show it to people, individuals right. like yourself, but not in a public kind of letter, because I've seen that letter thrown around. I've seen it, you know, on the floor with papers in
the newsletter,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not really kind of a treasured thing. Not, I'm trying to make anything out of it, but I just kind of felt that that Barber's kind of, you know, given it like that, and it's not kind of.
I was just thinking, I don't know how many illustrations I'm going to be able to afford because they're costly, you know,
mm.
pictures. But you know, when you have a story, you can actually see what they're talking about in front of you in a book.
Yeah, it adds to it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Naturally.
Well,
you told me about, but I didn't tell us about it.
Well, I've got another one in here which is out of the same pad, which you're most welcome to use. It's out of the very same pad.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Are you still doing drawings?
Yeah, well, very spasmodically, David. Like, it's, yeah. It's very hard, like, it's changed. The whole direction of art's kind of changed for me now, and really Barber is art for me now. And I just really get the most enjoyment out of drawing him and his mandali and the musts, the people associated with Barber, you know.
Yeah,
Well, you can see that's...
But did Barber see this?
No, you can see the size of the page. Yeah. And that's why the top of his head's kind of chopped off a little bit, because I could just fit it in.
I mean, it says 68 here. Was this one of the ones he saw too?
No, I did that, I think, a bit later.
Afterwards, then?
After.
Didn't see other drawings?
No, I've got the pad there, and it's got a little biro drawing in the front. I did a biro one, which I feel is a bit kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it had another one where Barber's doing that, sitting cross-legged with a thing around him, you know, doing mm-hmm. that. And this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only had 3 in it, you know.
Mm.
So, I'm going to put this in, you know. But anyway, yeah, the letters keep coming backwards and forwards.
Do you have those with you
now? Yeah, but they're back at the centre. Oh. I've got them back at the centre. Yeah, I'm going to be here till about the 22nd, 3rd, you know, this month.
That's about another week.
Yeah, about another week, yeah. So,
yeah,
it's a bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe on the way to
Marathon. Yeah, I'll bring them in, yeah, and you can have a look. And it's unfortunate, like, a couple of them that I have lost. I don't know what in the world has happened to them, but, like, I really looked after them, but somehow, a long time ago or somewhere, they've been lost. And unfortunately, I don't know about my brother, when I... Yeah, that sort of thing like that. But what I figure is, whatever, I mean, like, it's done. Whatever was done then. It's not a continuing. It's a reminder for me, and maybe the results of it are still going on, no doubt, but it was done at that moment. Whatever Barbara did by doing it was done then, sort of thing. Mm. So now I'm just, it's just a memento of that event, you know, for me now. But I think it's worth just preserving, because there's not that much stuff in Australia, and there's not that many Australians that have made that contact with him. So I think it'll just kind of, you know, help their, just be part of the scene there at Avatar's Abode.
Did you actually live at Marabout during your stay here?
No, I lived in the hotel over the road there.
So,
and
then after that third night?
After that, yeah, well, the letter came back. That was the last one, you know. And, I mean, sorry, the picture came back with a signature on it, and I was delighted. And I wrote another letter after that saying I was very happy to receive the signature. I was very happy that Barbara had signed it. Exactly what I said, I can't remember. I might have something in the letters back there, but it was basically it. Because it was amazing. I'd kind of forgotten so much detail until you sent me that letter, and I had to revise the whole trip, you know, mentally. And when you came to ask me what other incidents happened, mm-hmm. it was pages and pages. I started, got onto pages and pages, and it became kind of immense, you know. And
did you write, bring that?
No, I can't remember, David, but if you still want it, I can send it to you, because I've kind of done it now.
Yeah.
And but it kind of just became kind of immense, you know. If I did it literally. I tried to remember it all in order, and the days and what happened in each day while I was here. And a lot of it could be trivial,
yeah.
but I just tried to...
Right.
I just took it literally and then just tried to remember everything and what I did and whatever it was. And I thought, well, you'll pick out whatever is kind of relevant, you know. Yeah. But it started becoming immense. Such a short time here, but it started to become, you know, I was up to 50 pages already, you know. And it was just getting incredible. But it was very hard, because at that time I wasn't really living what you'd call a barber life. Barbara always kept in my heart, and was always, he was kind of my mirror of truth in my heart, you know. And then I'd get drunk up the pub, and I'd get into mischief and all, and mix with the boys and with the women and everything like that. And there was kind of this little thing, a nucleus I kept inside, and the rest was just going on. It seemed like when I came back from Australia, I just fell into every trap the West had to offer, you know. It was just incredible. And it reached a point where, in the end, over the last, just before Christmas this year, I was just thought I'd never get out of it. I thought I'd never be able to put Barber's, you know, to do what he would want me to do. I thought it'd be impossible, and I just became overwhelmed with my own weakness and being able to, you know, live the life that he would like me to live. And that made me feel even worse, you know. That made me more remorseful about it all then. And I just was pining away to Barbara, oh, please just get me out of this mess, you know. I've got my own self in by neglecting you, you know. And a relative, my grandmother, who was 92, passed away. And amazing thing, she'd saved up all these pension checks, little bits of money out of her pension checks. And there was about $1,000 from my brother and myself. I said, right, I'm getting out of here, up to Avatar's Abode, new crowd of people, give up all this lifestyle and start afresh. And then it just, things turned over. The next thing I knew, I had some money to get here, and whacko the diddle, I'm off at last, you know, after 17 years, you know. It was just incredible. Almost to the day, August. I got here on the day I left. Yeah, August. You know, at the end of August. And I got here on the 30th of August, and that was the day I left in 68. Yeah.
What, did a letter ever come actually saying go?
Right, I was getting to that. After the illustration came back with Barb, you know, delighted, wrote a little letter off saying how happy I was, and that I was feeling very tired, you know, very tired of travelling, and that I kind of wanted to go home. And that was kind of a plea, that I was sick of life, that I wanted to get home to Barbara, you know, and that I'd like to go up to Nepal and see northern India. And still, you know, saying, well, very happy. Is there any chance of seeing you? I still kept on that, but I'd just about given it up by then. I kind of realized that wasn't going to happen, you know. And that went off, and sure enough, another reply came back. And Barbara said, No, don't go up to northern India. You have no need to go up to northern India. To go back home, that my love will be with you, and to remember me as much as you possibly can, almost a repetition of the other letters, and to go straight back to Australia. And so that was it. I said my goodbyes to Artie and Don Donkin, and the next day I packed my bags and set off, and that was it.
Well, so that was then your total stay in Onondaga was
about 2.5 weeks, yeah. Something like that.
20 days.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about it is even when I got back to Australia, I was, arrived in Darwin absolutely destitute and poor and had to get food tickets to, you know, I just had enough to get back and had to get food tickets when I was in Darwin just to keep me going for a few days until I got a job to get the money to get across Australia down to Sydney. And I started writing letters again to Barbara, and replies came back to those ones. And I look now and I was, you know, telling Barbara about my ailments. My friends had one French chap who seemed to be very much taken up by Barbara, and one day he hurt his leg and he was just crying out, Barbara, 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 and stuff like that. And I thought, oh, well, I'll just write to Barbara about him, you know, and this sort of thing. And a reply came back and Barbara said, tell, I can't remember his first name, Levi, I think it was. Can't remember, Pierre Levi or whatever his name was, not to worry, that to go and see a doctor and look after his leg properly. And, you know, Barbara's attention to detail to people who had no connection was incredible, like a real father, you know, just amazing, really amazing. I went up to, how did I do it now, I think, yeah, I went, I might have gone to Bombay, I can't quite remember now, from Pune, but I went to Madras and got HMS Rajula to Penang, across that way, I got the boat across. Yeah, and it was quite interesting. On the boat, there was this Swami-like character, who had the orange sort of robes on and white hair and beard, but he had that blotchy skin like that ailment that they have out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... he was president of the World Parliament. He was interested in World Parliament and world passport and this sort of thing. And he spoke very good English. And he said that he'd met Barber, and Barber said that he would be a great man one day. And we sort of got on, and it was really interesting just to talk to him. But he was more interested in devotees and pilgrims than he was in masters. He said he was more interested in their kind of journey than the master. Well, the master was home and hose, so to speak, so right, that's that. But the way of the devotee was the one that kind of fascinated him. And I've still got his little books and pamphlets back at home.
Well,
eventually got back to us. Yeah, well, so many people. He could have... Yes, somewhere in a little group, and Barbara just made a comment and off he went, sort of thing like that.
Did you happen to know anything about any of those three?
No, I didn't know of anybody else. No. Unfortunately not. I remember you asked if I knew where they were and what was up with them, but no.
Yeah, nobody seems to me.
I just went off on my own steam.
I'm just curious, did you know that there was an American that also came here and Mama didn't see him?
Yeah, I think Erich, yeah, and Marnie the other day mentioned there was... No, I haven't. There was an Australian girl, Jane, I think.
Who also...
No, she might have been earlier on. I can't remember.
Is there Jane McElpin?
No, or Jay.
Could be Jane. This was a girl that came here too that didn't see her.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be Miss John.
Well, I know, but that was from an Indian thing.
Yeah. Jane, well, Erich met her a couple of times, and so he might know. Erich said he was gave a little story about her, or this Jane person who wanted to see Barbara and this sort of thing, and then he could see Erich. But Erich was in seclusion too, so I don't know how. She can't have been her. It would have been afterwards. Because Erich was here, working here at the time. So it would have been after Barbara dropped his body.
Yeah.
No, David, I didn't know anybody. I just set off on my own bat, you know.
Sure.
sort of thing.
The guy he met by was Ben Wright. Hmm. I mean, who came to this place. I'm trying to find where you're mentioned. See what it says about you.
Rest was in the drawing. It was done from the heart, not from the head. The letters, yeah, towards the end of the stay, and it was the next letter that said, go home. Yeah. And all the letters, there must be three or four letters before that, and then it was, I felt that there was something more, I didn't know what, and nobody said to go or anything like that. And I did the drawing, and I felt I kind of expressed what I felt for Barbara more through the drawing than through all the letters. And I guess that was my little drop of love exchange and Barbara's return of it, you know, right then. And once that was done, whatever had to be done or whatever was, you know, meant to be was done, and that was it. Back to Australia, you know, from there on.
Yeah, so that, I mean, the fact that, because Barbara, they would always show things to Barbara, you know, come in the mail and cards, and, but he didn't always sign it.
Yeah.
I mean, only like Dawkins' book, or a new book, he would sign.
Ah, yeah. Mm.
Somebody would bring a new book or something.
Oh, Erich was telling me that he wouldn't even look at the mail. It would pile up, you know, for weeks. And then when his mood was in it, he'd say, oh, well, what's today? Anything, any news? And he happened to say that. Like, he didn't come up and say to Barbara, oh, there's a letter. He just was waiting there. And Barbara, that day, when the first letter arrived, Barbara happened to say, any news on that day? And that's kind of started the ball rolling.
Like Al's story about Now I Know. So have you read his little book?
I read the one While the World Sleeps. Yeah, it's beautiful. That I love that.
In
yeah.
That story about all those letters kept piling up about the due reply. I'm headed today.
Ah, yeah. He had them in his pockets and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and every day, Bob would say, "Due reply. I don't want to do it today." This was in 68.
Ah, yeah.
And after he got to a point, then Bob said, what were you thinking? When, you see, Bob used to go for night watch.
I wasn't aware of all of Barbara's work. I was just caught up that he was God and that, you know, try and make contact, you know. I didn't dawn on me the significance of his work till kind of years later and kind of now, you know, the relevance of it, particularly Barbara's samadhi, you know. It's fantastic. But I remember that coming came. I'm tired of the illusion game. Yeah, his work. Well, then you know he might have a bit of time for the loose lovers. It just kept on going. I guess it kept on going right up to the point when he dropped his body. Yeah. Major part of his work was completed.
Hmm.
Now, we simply have to continue to do what we did with Baba, at least try to please him. But we had no more the liberty of telling him sometimes, you know. You know, Baba, enough is enough. Baba, you really want me to do this? Or something. Even once in a while or something. Now, you see, I always say he used to be before us, so we could see him. And he was pulling us along for his work. Now he's behind us. Can't see him, but he's pushing us along. So you can't get out of it. But you can't see him. You can't come, you just go on.
Mani, just while you were going over some of those hints that Baba had given, wasn't there a time that he said, and then the darkening will continue even after the...
Seated in this chair here in Mandali Hall, Baba said, when we come back from Pune, I'll give darshan every day. So, immediately when Baba said something that drastic, you see, I used to be apprehensive. Because I said, now he will say again, he will change, and then he will say, I will not give darshan. First he will have us send a circular, and then it will be for us to send another circular, and you see how it will be very difficult for them and very difficult for us. So, there was a letter to Baba, And he did that too, I'm sure, because he said to Baba, "But Baba, I'm always telling you to do that. You just tell your lovers, I will be available for 2 hours during the day. You fix your time. And you are available to them. Let them come anytime. Let them come anyhow, from anywhere. But during your time. Then you must not bother about where are they accommodated, how do they feel, are they all right, send somebody to fetch them, and nothing like that. Listen." And Baba looked at him, he listened to all that Erich was saying, as if Erich hadn't spoken, and he said, every day. At that time, I was a bit nervous, and I said, "Oh, Baba, after you come from Pune, you see how you feel. If you really feel you can give darshan every day, it's very easy, we'll send out a circular. After we come from Pune, let's do it." Baba looked at me as if I hadn't spoken and said, every day, I'll give darshan every day. "Yes, Baba, yes. Quiet, money, keep quiet, just say yes," and there was no mention of a circular. But then we realized, yes. Even in Pune, we forgot that Baba's coming with us, that he went with us to Pune and he's come back with us. Because when we said, this is what he told us about giving darshan in Pune, fine. Now this is all over. We have seen everybody. We have given a sadra of Baba to each group that we know. Well, that's that. We've done our duty and all what Baba told us about has happened. Now we go home, lay down our hair, and do something practical about living here. But now, Baba's come back here very much stronger, very much bigger. It's true. Whenever Baba would say something and the clock would strike, he'd turn up to see. That's true. And then that was only a point from which all this has started. So therefore I know that what we see now is nothing compared to what is to come. It is grows. Yeah, till there will be nothing else but Baba. And he would tell us things like that. When the ones who are coming, the new ones, that is, my new life, you old ones will be pushed back, And we call it Nanda Guru Prasad Darshan, because in 69, the wave of lovers that came, we literally, it was like a stampede a bit. But now that we see, it's going to just go on and on, the little wave is going to become a big wave, the tidal wave, the ocean wave. But there were more things also, one came and slipped away. How nice it is that thoughts have become like butterflies. They don't make an impression on your mind. They sit very lightly, and if you're not careful to catch them, they just fly away. And that's what they should be, The impressions should be very light. Only impression should be of Baba.
You march to Pune?
Yeah, that's another thing, Jean. And Baba had said here one day, just casually for fun. He said, "In March, we march to Pune." As I first say, Baba, he would come up with something sparkling, bubbling, spontaneous, things like that. So he said, "Oh, look. In March, we march to Pune." So then, when the time came, Baba dropped his priority. "Oh, Rasul, we came back from Mehrabad. Now what? Do we go to Pune? Is Baba going to give darshan? How can Baba give darshan? But will they come? Or why should they come? What would they come for? They cannot come." Yeah. Then, it was made clear, right from, while we were still at Mehrabad, Rick was asked to send out a cable to ask, will they be coming? And everybody said, "Yes, they're coming." And they came. They came by the hundreds. They came in charter plane. They came by the plane loads. And buses were coming to Guru Prasad. What an experience. But before we left from here, we were saying, "Should we go? What are we going to do?" We just had no idea what kind of a darshan. How is Baba going to manage? What is he going to do? We even forgot that he was the one who was going to do. And then we remembered, Baba said, "In March, we march to Pune. So if that is clear, we go to Pune." Because you see, we women did not participate in the darshan in that way, like the others experienced, even when Baba gave darshan in Pune, in Guru Prasad, or anywhere. We were behind the scenes. We were backstage. We only got experienced darshan from the reflection of Baba in the thousands of faces. We saw Baba's back, Baba's hair, Baba's head, Baba's little braid, and the sadra, you know, sometimes soaked with the sweat of exhaustion from the heat, and is giving, giving, giving without a stop to the thousands, and each one receiving individually because he was giving personally to everyone. And you would have seen a picture of Baba and Guru Prasad standing up on the stage, you saw it that day, his hand raised, like that palm open, stressed like that, hand raised full from the shoulder, and to reach his lovers on the furthest, backmost rows of chairs, because they could not see Baba clearly. But they allowed the others to have a chance because they were from Pune and Bombay and nearby places who had more of a chance of seeing Baba. I still remember them, you know, the crippled Baba lover who was in Nagar. She was in the furthermost back seat. And she even had a little binoculars, opera glasses. She would look at Baba through opera glasses because she could see. But Baba, by standing there and putting up his hand like that, you felt as if an ocean was waving over, covering. Ocean was covering all that space. It's like an enormous wave of love from that hand. And it shows a little in the picture, but I remember that I happened to be standing on in the bathroom of a room that faces Baba sidewise, where he would be seated on the dais. And I was there, so I could see Baba, and I could also direct my brother Bairam and Jambu about filming him. Take it from here. And I'd make signs. I was directing. You know, take it from that pole. Go down. Take it from here. So-and-so's coming. Don't forget. So here I was looking at Baba from the side, and I saw Baba stand up and put up his hand. And it was awesome. I felt drowned. And no person putting up a hand like this could reach anywhere. And this I think not only reached to the furthermost seat, but much beyond. Baba can never give in a limited way because he's unlimited. Anything he gives has to be so vast, it more than covers what is, which reminds me of this grace. You know, people say grace before meals. And this is with cartoons. And here was this family, a poor family, standing up to say grace before their meal. But what was on that plate was something so little. Such a tiny amount of food was there, and the grace was, Lord, pour thy grace in measure small, lest it more than cover all. But his grace always covers more than all. No matter how much our longing, no matter how much we want, he'll always give more than we want. Because it is his nature. He cannot help it. And it also reflected in his man's life. My mother would complain, oh, Meryl goes to buy a keychain, and he must bring home a dozen. There are not even so many keys. What's he going to do with all those keychains? The Baba could never buy one. He never could give one. He was always by the dozen. The way he would feed the birds, the way he would feed the musk, the way he'd see to the feeding of the animals, the way he'd give. His giving is so bountiful that it's bound to overflow for whatever we hold out. Yes. Any other hint you can think of that? No. Oh yes, Baba kept sending messages to Mara to be brave. That's 31st. You see, the men all had to go out before Mara could come in. But Rana and I were also there when the men were there. And Dr. Gora was there for some time. So Baba sent me out to give Mara the message to be brave. And then I tell myself that was also a gift from Baba. Baba was not asking her to be brave. Baba was giving the being brave to her, giving this gift. That is why she was able to be brave. You cannot of your own. That is why when he says, love me, he's not asking love from us. He's giving us the love to give him. So when he said, be brave, I often wondered how much that meant. How much that meant. Later I realized that he was giving. Be brave. And I, for some...
It's just a real nice letter, and he said that we could read it out loud if we want.
And of course, there was a dignity too. So you never have to show that you are hurt, that you're touched.
by all the jibes and all the things they do. So they would still send an invitation for a wedding in the family. But of course my mother knew, and they knew, and they knew that she knew, and she knew that they knew that she wasn't meant to attend, but that they don't want to be defaulted and to say, oh, how crude and impolite they are, they didn't send. So my mother didn't want to say, no, I won't attend. She had to reply. So what she would do, I was a reply. I would be sent to the wedding. A child. Nobody knew me, and I'd have grand time. I'd play with the goldfish in our gallery grounds. And then when they were playing this band, they'd have these very posh English uniform bands, you know, red and gold and English band. And I'd go stand right under the noses looking up at them and seeing how they're playing the and eating to my heart's content. Yeah, I didn't have to make conversation, I didn't have to be social, but I just enjoyed myself. So I've enjoyed so many weddings. But the best part of my story, the thing I can tell you, if I mention my parents, is for me since a child to see the two sides of it, like two parts of a scale. You know, you have the scale. Yes. So there was always a beautiful balance, because my father saw life with Bala was no joke, but he wouldn't want anything else. He had that all he wanted. Even now, if I want anything, that's all I want. And that's all that's worth wanting. I tell them that the goal of a lover is to please the beloved. And to prove my point, I somehow found this quote from Baba, which I use on my letterhead now. And that was, Baba said, if you love me, as Saint Francis loved Jesus, you would not only realize me, but you would please me. That is, place above.
The lover's right to please him at all costs. And that right, that privilege, has been given to us as lovers. Not as seekers, what is there to seek? Nothing. Like someone who thought long ago when I was first beginning to write letters, you must have seen the light, you must have seen the light. I said, my God, how do I answer that? And I was very conscientious then, I would answer every time. And I said, you haven't even got electric lights here. But after seeing the light of love in Baba's eyes, what other light is there to see? There is nothing there. So for you all, look at the anticipation. You are already booked. You all have a date with him. For us, I cannot forbid that because he said one more for me. And for all who are with him in Merazat, the 14, he said 100 years, within 100 years, the game is over for us. So there's one more life. And he said, I'd be a man. So then I see your viewpoint, Erich, all the things that I say. Oh, you men. So then I'm going to say, I think I'll be with the society for a while. I don't know, I'm a point. I have my feet. Oh, there they are. Who's
coming?
Okay, Baba. See? He got the day too.
Yes.